Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Welcome to Coffee House Shots for Spectators, daily and nowadays more than daily podcast. Theresa May has released her resignation honours list, or should that be dishonour list? There's a good number of people here who are distinguished by their lack of, to put it politely, complete success in their jobs. So ought Prime Ministers to be doing this? And has Theresa May done exactly what she accused David Cameron of doing? I'm joined by James Kirkup and Anna Mikhailova, Deputy Political Editor of the Daily Telegraph. So, James, you've written a blog today. Every time somebody does something outrageous, you're always defending it. Today is no exception. So you've written a defence of this, thinking that these chaps deserve... No,
hang on. I've written a partial defence. I think some of the names of this list are appalling. But anyway, who are these chaps? These dishonourable chaps you're so upset about?
Well, the point here, right, what is an honour for? If you made a Knight, if you made a CBE, an OBE, there are people up and down the country who've done incredible work for their communities, and they get honoured by the Queen. It's a great thing. You can go to a village in the middle of Northumbria where you're from, and you'll find somebody who's got a well-deserved OBE. You've got Mo Farah, who inspired millions of Brits. He was given a knighthood, quite right. And then you get PR people who don't do a brilliant job, and they're put in the same basket. They're given the same honours, and you think, James Kirkup, that that's okay?
I'm not. You're asking me to defend the honour system. No, I mean, if it was up to me, then no, I'd get rid of political honours altogether because they're a nonsense. But within the context that these awards have been made, given that they do exist, given that there is an honours system and it is what it is. Bad, good, or otherwise, we haven't got to any of the names yet. I mean, presumably you're splenetically furious about Ollie Robbins getting a knighthood.
Well, let's take Fiona Hill, somebody you've defended several times in Coffee House when she was up to her antics. Explain to us why she deserves OBE.
I think it's a CB, isn't it?
What any initial
on the list? Well, no, okay. Full disclosure, I'm a friend of Fiona Hill's.
I
worked with her many years ago. I'm fond of her. She's a friend. There's no neutrality here. My point is that if you look at this list, there are a lot of some people who did less for Theresa May who have been given awards, including a knighthood and a few peerages for a year or two as a spad, helping out a bit. And yet you have in the middle of the list sort of mid-table award. I'm not suggesting CBE's low grade, but the CBE to Nick Timothy and Fiona Hill, without whom Theresa May never would have become Prime Minister. Now, if the metric she's using for the handing out of gongs is how much did you do for me, how much do I owe you, then by that standard, Fiona Hill and Nick Timothy are more deserving of peerages than anybody else on this list. Whether or not you think that is a valid standard, a valid metric to use for these awards, I don't know. If you don't, then they should get nothing. I mean, my point is, sticking them there in the middle sort of with a sort of halfway house award, it's a bit mealy-mouthed, it's a bit sort of, it's a bit meh. Either give them peerages or give them nothing.
Anna Mikhailova, James's point, effectively, is that if we are to have honours, then of course somebody, a Prime Minister who resigned, is going to give them to their former advisor. This has been going on since the Lavender List. You're pinning the medals on the children in the bunker while everything's going on outside. 'Twas always thus and always thus will be.
Well, quite right. That is the argument. And I will also point out that Theresa May's list is about 20 longer than the Lavender List. Mm. And I think ultimately, just because something has always happened as it has happened, doesn't mean it should go on like that. And Theresa May is not only guilty of doing exactly what David Cameron did, she is also guilty of hypocrisy, which I think a lot of people would say is even worse.
Why so?
Because when David Cameron had his very controversial honours list himself, with 62 people on it and 16 peerages, I understand, Theresa May, first of all, came out in The Spectator attacking him and saying, why did you give, mocking him for giving a peerage, or is it an honour, to his chief of staff.
Craig
and now
Oliver,
she has given a chief of staff honour herself.
He knighted his director of communications.
In fact, we have the clip here. It was in our parliamentary awards where she was describing the bit in Craig Oliver's book where he says how he felt sick, physically sick, during the Brexit vote. Here was her gag.
I'm particularly pleased to see Craig Oliver is here tonight. Sir Craig is here tonight. I have to say, I understand that that in his book about the referendum campaign, Craig says that when he heard the result of the referendum, he walked out of the office, he walked into Whitehall, and he started retching violently. I have to say, I think we all know that feeling. Most of us experienced it too, when we saw his name on the resignation honours list.
So, James Kirkup, simply put, if she's going to make that joke about David Cameron knighting his spin doctor, she should not have knighted her spin doctor, Robbie Gibb.
Absolutely, correct. I mean, I will, again, another confession of interest. I probably wasn't Craig Oliver's greatest fan in all the world. I may have written somewhere that he might have been the least deserving recipient of a knighthood in modern times. That was then, this is now. I was there for the spectators, and when Theresa May made that joke, I thought that was a bit much, frankly. Yeah. Even I felt for him then. But particularly having done that, to then go on and give a knighthood to your own director of communications, Robbie Gibb, who bluntly didn't do a very good job of selling her principal policy, the Brexit withdrawal agreement, that is, yeah, frankly, a bad thing to have done. It does not reflect well on Theresa May.
And it's more than just a joke. The 2017 Tory manifesto ran on a pledge to reform the honour system and cut it down. Mm. So something that has patently not happened. And if you're talking, you know, James, about what kind of model Theresa May was doing for this, it was essentially a cookie cutter. What David Cameron did, here's what I've done. All of my aides in Downing Street, my housekeeper, my chef, Tory donors. I mean, that's ultimately what people are riled up against. And you know, there's a real problem of perception here. This comes out intentionally, of course, on a very busy day, so it doesn't make all of the splashes as it would on a normal day. But it also comes out on a day when Parliament, just anywhere outside Westminster, looks absolutely, you know, in its own world. And this is another factor here. I was talking to MPs yesterday on the terrace, and pretty much every name I mentioned that we think is controversial, they said, well, that's deserved for this and this reason. Well, Gavin Barr was an MP for many, many years. And you know, one MP I talked to was a bit gauche, actually. I said, oh, look at this outrageous list. And he said, first thing he did is he checked it, and he said, oh, I'm not on it, because he was recommended by someone. He's very upset. So, and again, it just looks completely out of any normal world, where in a normal situation, if someone does a job and they don't do it particularly well, they're not rewarded for it. Mm. Whereas you had a government whose stated aim was to take the country out of the European Union, and yet all the advisers are suddenly now ennobled.
It's a bit of a digression, but I mean, I slightly challenge that point that if people don't do jobs very well, they're not rewarded. Actually, we have this great myth at Westminster that somehow outside the bubble there is this red and tooth and claw economy where if you fail in your job, you're brutally cast aside, and the only people who get ahead
sure,
and get rewarded...
Chief executives get massive payoffs for failure, but that's not something to emulate.
Talk to anybody in any job, they will be able to give you a list of people, of their colleagues who are rubbish, who get paid too much, who get paid off for being...
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Honestly, people get rewarded for failure. You get rewarded for failure all the time.
Absolutely, but we've got.
I'm saying it's a good thing. It just happens.
The House of Lords is a. I read somewhere yesterday that it's the second biggest unelected legislature after China's People's Congress. Mm. So. Is that what we're trying to emulate?
I welcome the conversion of Spectator and Daily Telegraph editors to the cause of constitutional reform, the abandonment of the House of Lords, the establishment of an elected upper house.
I personally would abolish resignation honours.
The end of politicised honours. Should we do electoral reform while we're at as well? Let's get rid of first past the post.
James, would you abolish resignation honours?
Yes, in an ideal world. I mean, if you were designing the system from scratch, you would not have an honours regime where politicians could hand out gongs to their mates under the same auspices as a system that rewards tireless, thankless community efforts around the country and thus devalues them. But we are where we are, and given that we are where we are, a lot of the stuff on this list
is not... But we're not really where we are, because
all,
specific reform has been recommended. The House of Commons conducted an inquiry a few years ago and recommended specific points of action, including taking the Prime Minister out of the equation, mm-hmm. having an independent body decide who is well-deserving, and this can include civil servants, but the specific recommendation at the time was you don't simply reward people for holding a job mm-hmm. and for doing their day job was the words they said. They said, you honour people for exceptional service, for going above the call of duty. But you know, you've had time and again, you've had prime ministers come in, like Theresa May did, and send out all the signals that she was going to change it, and then not do that.
Anna made a really good point earlier on, that the government's intention might have been to bury bad news, but when you actually look at it, it forms part of a pattern. We've got this debacle that we had in the House of Commons in the early hours of this morning. We have had the failure of this Parliament to either agree a deal or block no deal, to either back Boris Johnson or support him. We have got this gravel dump of honours of people who it would baffle, to be honest, most people why the majority of guys on this list would be given honours. It all adds up to a powerful theme of Westminster simply not working for the people of this country. In other words, it actually helps Boris Johnson because this is his overall theme.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not part. I don't do this anymore. So I don't know what the process was for the time. Who decided the timing of the honours list today? If you say it was done to bury it, I don't know. I assumed it was done to try and make that point and to embarrass Theresa May to try and bring as much attention to it as possible. But that's an assumption. I don't know. There's one. I mean, I agree. I disagree with that. Oh, sorry, I do not disagree with that. There's one we haven't. Can we talk about Ollie Robbins?
Let's talk about Ollie Robbins, who's also got a double win for Ollie Robbins today, because he hasn't just got a knighthood, but he's got a job in Goldman
Triple
Sachs.
Triple win and an Oxford Fellowship first.
Was that announced today as well?
Yes, before the Goldman Sachs job.
Red letter day for Ollie Robbins.
Sorry, so a man applies for a job with a commercial organisation and is appointed to it, and you're upset why?
Let me put. If I were a Brexiteer,
mistaking you for a free marketeer. Sorry, I forgot. You're a status revolutionary.
If I were a Brexiteer in Nuneaton, and I would remember that Goldman Sachs would contributed something like £2 million from memory to the Leave campaign, I see Ollie Robbins, the guy who messed up the negotiation, who took us to this impasse, being rewarded not just by Theresa May with his knighthood, but also by Goldman Sachs giving him a massive job. It basically reeks of the sort of establishment stitch-up that people are concerned about.
Do you know what county Nuneaton is in?
Do you think you can get me on the spot on a podcast that I edit?
Just checking.
You talk about free market, but if you know, he hasn't come in on an advisory role or some kind of honorary role. He's come in as a full-time managing director. And if you know anyone who's tried to get a promotion in Goldman Sachs from director to managing director and just how much work they have to put in, do you really think that Ollie Robbins would have come in at that salary and at that level if he hadn't been a very senior civil servant in charge of Brexit negotiations?
I'm not a free marketeer, but as I understand it, the theory is that is solely a concern for the shareholders of Goldman Sachs. Sure. They have decided that they wish to employ Sir Ollie Robbins on those terms for their own reasons, presumably for the furtherment of the interests of the shareholders of the company.
Yeah, because of his access to government. This demonstrates a far too close link between government and between the masters of the universe. And again, let's go back to what Brexit voters see. They see the establishment getting together to deny them what they voted for. I mean, the Goldman Sachs aspect of this really was the cherry on the establishment cake, was it not?
I do not know why Goldman Sachs has hired Ollie Robbins. Three guesses.
Because he's a brilliant financier, because he's great at derivative markets, or because he might bring a wealth of contacts to the government from which Goldman Sachs wants to do business.
So you admit you're guessing, then? You don't know either.
Well, his letter where he formally applied for permission, because if you remember, people who leave government and at such a senior level have to justify it and get permission from the parliamentary watchdog, which, by the way, has never actually denied an appointment. But in order to apply for this appointment, Ollie Robbins said that he has absolutely no commercially sensitive information to bring to the table. He absolutely will not be discussing Brexit negotiations. And his whole focus and the reason he's been hired is his excellent client relationship skills.
And do you have any evidence that any of these statements is untrue?
No, but I think we're allowed to apply a smidgen of scepticism and also take Akoba's official recommendation that there's a high risk that he will bring a commercial advantage to Goldman Sachs.
I want to go back to the bit where Ollie Robbins messed up the negotiation. How did Ollie Robbins mess up the negotiation?
Well, First of all, he was the chief negotiator, right?
That's a statement of fact. How did he mess up the negotiation?
Because they came back to something that Parliament was never going to be able to approve. He had no political nous here at all.
He was a civil servant.
Civil servant who was intended to produce something that Parliament was going to approve, right? That was the test. The test wasn't whether Theresa May liked it. The test was Parliament. He brought back something that was very, very far. And Theresa May would have got her deal passed. We wouldn't have been having the discussion right now if the chief negotiator of the Brexit deal had managed to bring back something that Parliament was able to do. Now,
what should he have done that he did not do? As chief negotiator.
What should he have done? He should have brought back a deal at Parliament.
How? What would that deal look like?
If you take the backstop, for example, fundamentally misjudged how the dynamics of the backstop were going to be acceptable to the House of Commons, which they simply weren't and were never going to be.
The backstop. The original EU proposal in the joint report was for a backstop that would cover Northern Ireland only. That was rejected by the British government. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom said that she could not accept
only
this.
Backstop.
She sent Ollie Robbins back to Brussels to say, I can't accept a Northern Ireland-only backstop. You must solve this. He negotiated the all UK backstop. That is regarded by the EU27 as a significant concession to Britain. It would have allowed all of the United Kingdom to have significant access to the single market without being subject.
Oh, you blogged in favour of this without as well, didn't you,
being
at the time,
subject,
what a great deal it was.
Without being
to
subject
now.
To the four freedoms. It would have been a violation of one of the fundamental principles of the EU. Ollie Robbins persuaded the EU to step back from one of their cardinal rules in that negotiation. He did something which people following that process in Brussels thought was not possible. He succeeded beyond any reasonable expectation.
Right up until the point where it was an utter failure.
When he returned that deal to his political masters, as he should as a civil servant, they made an absolute pig's breakfast of selling it, which is why you think it's a terrible deal and why people in Parliament
think it's a
terrible
deal.
The problem
is in the salesmanship, not the deal itself.
Yep.
Well,
he did his job.
He
did his job and did it well. During that process, he was repeatedly attacked by politicians who knew full well he couldn't respond, who were doing what cheap, cowardly politicians have done for generations, centuries, which is when they can't bring themselves to attack the principal, they attack the advisers. Theresa May failed utterly to defend him. That was shameful. That really was a failure. The fact that she's now tossed him a knighthood after letting him act as a piñata for the ERG for 2 years is pretty shoddy. It's the least she could have done. But the idea that Ollie Robbins failed in the negotiation, that he cocked this up, is nonsense. And you do know it, really.
Well, Sir James Kirkup and Lady Anna McAliver, thank you very much for joining me. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, on the iTunes Store, or you can try the magazine itself for just £1 a week on spectator.co.uk/subscribe. And if you'd like a knighthood, then have a quick word of James Kirkup here. He'll put you in contact with some very well-connected people at Goldman Sachs.